would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have in these days to reach out to those that are far over beyond our reach, that we cannot go to, but by the technicians of things that we have available to us, we're able to bring your word to people that we may never see this side of eternity. But we pray that we will be able to join with them that will believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted, and asking you to forgive them of their sins, and we can all join together in the kingdom of God. We thank you for the opportunity to bring your truth into those that would have ears to hear. Let them hear what the Spirit hath to say. We thank you, Lord, and ask that you would bless and undertake in the matters that are at hand, and help us to be overcomers and be faithful to thee even unto the end. And all these things will give you the praise and the glory for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, we do appreciate those that have wrote to us from the broadcast, and our goal is to win souls for the kingdom of God. We see in that how that these things are coming about across the land that Jesus spoke of that would transpire before his return. So the return of our Lord is very near. I'm not trying to tell you that I know the day or the hour, before I don't. No man does. The Bible plainly tells us, not even to the angels in heaven knoweth that time. It's left to God himself that he will come forth at the time, but at the time that the world is not expecting him. And my friends, it seems like the majority of the world is not tentative their ears to hear or to believe what is written in the scriptures. Lack of understanding, maybe, the lack of not reading, and most of it is probably just absolutely not believing in the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. But my friend, it doesn't make any difference to whether you believe or not believe. It's going to be as God has placed it down, because it is not one cross of the T or dot of the I is going to fall short that won't be fulfilled. And we realize that God told Ezekiel in the third chapter of Ezekiel in about the 17th verse, and then he put him as a watchman on the wall. And he said made him a watchman on the wall, and he sees the sword coming, and he warns the people, and they take heed, then their lives will be spared. But if he don't warn them and they be taken by the sword or killed, if you want to put it that way, but they're lost, the blood is going to be required at his hands. My friend, that's why that not only I, but other preachers throughout is preaching this gospel, and we're living now in the time that is closely to our coming of our Lord. There's a few things that not been fulfilled yet that he made mention of that would be prior to his coming. But it's in the making now that Israel and the Palestinian, this thing is going to be a peace treaty, you might say, that's going to come and transpire there between them. And my friends, when this is taking place, it's going to be one of the biggest events in prophecy that will be coming in our day, my friend. So be prepared, be believing believers in the word of God. And when these things come to pass, time is going to be almost over with. I don't know the day or the hour, and these people that goes around and predicts it, they are this and that, and it's going to come at this certain time. Many of them have said it in 88 and all them time, and they done gone, and time's ended for them, but still and all, it didn't end the way they said it was. Many of them are come and gone, but false prophets will arise in the last days and saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they are. And there's a lot of people not believing. A lot of people have come to the place that wherein the Bible speaks about in the last days they would be routing and carrying on as it was in the days of Noah. They was eating and drinking, marriage and giving in marriages, all kinds of things was going on until they Noah entered into the ark and the rest was carried away in the flood. My friends, we're living close to the time of our Lord's return to take his bride out. And after he takes his bride out, them that left behind, my thought is their only hope that they would have would be give their life as a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many will do it? I don't know. But God's got us all figured out. He knows the end from the beginning, the ups and the downs, and he knows all that is to be done and all that has been done. And we got to rely upon him, for he is the Almighty. He knows the beginning from the end and all in the between. So be this wise. Read your Bible, as I often tell you. Read your Bible and find out for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it or nobody else's. You'd have the infallible word of God. And when they go to tell you, you don't need to read the word of the Bible, that they will interpret it for you and tell you what it says. You take two steps backwards and turn around and run from that person. I don't care who he is, where he come from, what nationality he is. You believe in the infallible word of God, read it for yourself. Because man will mess up things. They've been doing it all along, and they're still doing it. They come up with all kinds of ideas and everything, and they try to bring it out of the and say the Word of God says this. Well, it may say some of the things, but they may have taken it out of context, and it may not be what they say it is. So, my friends, read your Bible. Let me encourage you, read your Bible and find out, then you'll know firsthand. You won't have to take my word or nobody else's word. You've got the word of God, and if you will listen to it, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow him to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins, repent, ask him, tell him that you're sorry, to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and just put it all out there and ask him to come in. And then when you'll know that he has forgiven you of your sins, you'll feel that unction to serve him and serve him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. Do all that you humanly possibly can, but most of all, be led by the Spirit. And you'll make it. But my friend, without the Spirit of God in us, we're going to perish. Because without my Spirit, he says, without his Spirit, we're none of his. So we must be born again, as he told Nicodemus, and he was one of the people there in the temple, a priest in the temple back in those days. But he told him he must be born again, or he will not see the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God was standing there before him. But he was carnal. Can a man, when he's old, go into his mother's womb? No, my friend, you can't, but you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Well, we know by the birth that water breaks forth and a child is born, but we need to repent of our sins and be born again of the Spirit of God. That he comes in, forgives us of our sins. We need to then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then receiving of his Spirit, then we can say that we are a child of the King. But unless we have got his Spirit, he says, you are none of mine. I didn't say it. He said that except you have his Spirit, you are none of his. So we need to understand that the Word of God is truth, and it's going to stand when everything else is gone. So, my friend, don't believe every doctrine, every denominational thing that comes down the road. Believe what the Word of God says, and look into it for yourself, and accept the Word of God, and let God teach you what you need to know. Paul didn't go to a man to be taught. He went into the Arabia, into a desert place, and Jesus gave him, God himself gave him the revelation of grace to bring and preach to the Gentile nation. And by that we have been able to come in to be a part of the commonwealth of Israel, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you and I made it, is through the veil that was rent from top to bottom, that we're in, that we can now go into the place of holiness, place boldly, repenting of our sins, bowing before our Lord and our Savior, believing upon the the sacrifice that he made by the giving of his life and shedding his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. You can be ducked in every river from here to yon and depend upon that to save you. It's not going to do the job, my friend. You got to have the blood of Jesus applied to your sins. Baptism itself just will not save you. But if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, then you can be considered a child of the King. But now, when the time comes now that I've got something, my wife's got something other here I want her to read, pay attention to it, and then we'll go further with it. So here's my wife with something concerning the days that we now live. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. It's an honor again to be able to bring to you what the Lord's laid on our hearts. And I want to share with you, we get all kind, get stuff in the mail, and right now we're in the end time. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:32-34, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And of course, that's King James, Matthew 24:32-34. It's so important to realize that we're running out of time. There's no time for business as usual, and we certainly don't want to fall asleep at the wheel at all the end time prophecies are culminated. Jesus gave us a prophecy concerning how we would know that we would live in the end time generation. Jesus prophesied about a certain generation that would not pass away until seeing his second coming and the fulfillment of all the prophecies of end time. The prophecies recorded in Matthew 24:32-34. And now learn a parable of the fig tree. When this branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. There have been many opinions about which generation Jesus was referring to. One popular theory taught was that Jesus referring to the generation who saw the rebirth of Israel in 1948. Some proponents of this view said a generation was 40 years, and therefore Jesus had to return by 1988. However, 1988 came and went, and it did not happen. Some of those people have now changed their mind. They now contend that a generation is 70 years instead of 40. So now they're saying that Jesus must be here by 2018. However, those who know the scriptures know that there's at least another 7 years until the second coming. Consequently, it's not going to happen in 2018. What did Jesus really say? He said, when you see these things, then know. And these things are referring to, and what can we then know? Before seeing these words, Jesus had spent nearly the entire 44th chapter of Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew, relying to two questions asked by his disciples. They had asked in verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the ages? Jesus proceeded to give many signs that precede his second coming and the end of the church age. Many of the signs Jesus listed were general signs, such as there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in different places. Haven't there always been wars and rumors of wars? Haven't there always been earthquakes and pestilence? These are general signs. What we really cannot say would identify the generation would pass. Did Jesus give anything specific that would be a one-time occurrence so that we can know we are the generation who will see all things fulfilled? He did. It's actually foretold two specific things would only happen at one time. The abomination of desolation. Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," speaking of Daniel the prophet, "stand in the holy place. Who readeth, let him understand." The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist will stand on the Temple Mount, claiming to be God. This will take place 3.5 years before the second coming. The abomination of desolation is described in more detail in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, in that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And of course, this is going to happen whenever the temple is rebuilt. The prophecies tell us that a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians will start a 7-year period, which will end with the battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus. This agreement will take place, the Temple Mount, under a sharing agreement so that both Muslims and Jews can worship there. This sharing arrangement will be supervised by the international community, probably United Nations. Once the Antichrist becomes recognized as the leader of the international community, he will be in charge of overseeing the Temple Mount. When the Jewish temple built, animal sacrifices will be resumed in the temple. This will be strongly opposed by animal rights activists. Antichrist will order the sacrifice stopped, claiming at that point that he is Messiah and God. This event is called the abomination of desolation. Are we the generation that shall pass? It certainly looks like events are developing that will result in both the abomination of desolation and the fleeing of Jews from Judea. How quickly will these events come to pass? It appears that these two prophecies will come to pass within the next 5 to 7 years, but we can't say with absolute certainty. Even if it took 10 years from this to unfold, it's obvious that most of us will be part of the generation that will see the culmination of all things, including the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus to the earth. Since we are the generation that will witness the 7 years, the Antichrist, the two witnesses, the Great Tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and the second coming of Jesus, what should we be doing? Jesus told us specifically what the focus of his church should be in these end times. He said, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." People desperately need to understand where they are right now. Most of are very confused and have no idea what they should do. Jesus has called all of us to teach them, to be a witness. Our job is huge. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This was spoken by Jesus in the immediately preceding verse, in verse 15, in which he prophesied about the abomination. Jesus was talking about the time in which we live. We have a job to be a witness. It says to be a witness. And as I always say, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be ours to behold. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. The scriptures plainly lets us know that there's going to come some troublesome times before the Lord returns. He's going to come back in the clouds to receive his bride, which is the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. And it's not no denomination that's called itself to be that church. It is the born again. You don't join it. You belong to it by being born again. It's the only way you can enter in and have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life and being belong to the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's the soul of man, and all can be a part of it. He didn't make no specifically that you can't or I can't or who can't. He said, all that would hear, let them hear. But now, there's a lot of people won't hear. They think that they have got it all made. You got to belong to this certain denomination or that one. My friend, if you don't belong to Jesus Christ, I'm afraid you're going to miss the boat. But now, the time of it has come when Jesus spoke about the things that, and told the apostles there, the things that were to come before his return for the bride or the church. He told them there in Matthew 24 that he said that these things would happen, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. And these things are happening, my friend. Open your eyes. Wake up to reality. Look into your word of the God of God and believe what it says and look around you and see where we're at today. We're living in the time that Jesus spoke to the apostles 2,000 years ago or better, when he told them that these things would come. They asked him about, they told him about the temple. They just marveled at it, how it was constructed and how pretty it was. And I don't have no doubt that it wasn't a beautiful temple. But nevertheless, he told them that there would come a time that not one stone be left upon another. And in 70 A.D., Tiberius, the Roman soldiers, they went in there and tore it all down. And it hasn't been a new temple built since then. Well, God scattered the Jewish nation all over the world, and now he's gathered them back. 1948, they come back and declared it to be the Israel to be a state. My friend, these is part of the scriptures that are being fulfilled in yours and my time. And the day is now at hand that when these things are upon us. We look into the scripture, and he said, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, we look around and we see these things happening. We're having the routing going on, and these here rumors of wars is upon us here with North Korea and the other places and everything, with Russia going on and different ones fighting in different areas and everything, and the earthquakes happening. There are multiples of them here recently and everything, and killing people and people dying in these storms and one thing or another. Disasters is happening, my friend. They're coming. We see the pestilence coming along. There's Zika virus and different things. We see all these things coming upon us. We see all of this here stuff that Jesus spoke about. In Noah's day, there was routing carrying on, and that's what they say. They call it protesting. Ain't a thing in the world but routing. They go out there and destroying people's property and all these things, and that's because of routing. And because the devil has drugged them into this false security and saying that, well, you have your rights. And we do have some rights, my friend, but it does not give you or no one, me or no one else, the right to just kill somebody else's rights, you might say. We got to live together. We need to get into the place that we're in, that we can have love for one another. As Jesus told the Jews back then, he said they expected the Messiah to come as a king and organize an army and go in rebellions against the Roman Empire and put the Romans in slavery as they had put them into. But when it didn't happen, he began to tell them to love even to your enemies. Then that was a no-no as far as they was concerned. So they later had him crucified. But it was all in the plan of God from the foundation of the world. He knew that Adam was going to fall in the garden. He knew that sin was going to engulf the world because of man's heart failing him and all these things. He knew these things in advance, and he told him about these things that's to come upon the land prior to his return. My friend, a lot of people's got his second coming when he comes to get his bride, but that's a different coming from what when he comes to put his foot on Mount Olive, that's when all of the things is going to be fulfilled and the wars is really going to come to pass. My friend, when he comes and takes his church out, the scripture says when he will let it be taken out of the way. When the church is removed, it's the only thing that is restraining the things right now. But when it gets so bad that God comes and claims his bride and takes her off the face of the earth and puts her in a secured place there with him until all these other things be fulfilled, and then he's going to come back and put his foot on Mount Olive, and the saints is going to follow him, or them faithful ones is going to follow him, and they're going to come back. Before they can come back with him, they got to go with him. My friend, the dead in Christ shall rise, and the them that remain to be alive will be changed, but you can't make it except you've been born again. If you fall by the wayside in death, and you're down without Christ in your life, you're not going to rise on that first resurrection. And if you've not been born again, and if you still remain to be alive and you've not been born again, you're not going to be changed there and meet the Lord in the air with them that come forth out of the grave. My friend, it's got to be as the Bible says. I don't care who he is or what he comes, what school he went to or what seminar or whatever. If he teaches something different from what your word, what the Bible says, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. I don't care who he is. But there's many that's come in his name saying, I am the Christ. You know how that's been going on, and it's happened and deceived many. The man carried a bunch of them over there and drank poison Kool-Aid claiming he was a Messiah. There was one in Texas out claiming he was a Messiah. And all these things deceived many people. Many people have come down and said they've got a better revelation than what anybody else has ever had. And my friend, Paul was given the revelation of grace to give to the Gentiles, and he preached the same gospel that Jesus taught the apostles. The apostle doctrine is the only true doctrine there really is. I don't care. They got all these here different kinds of religion and different kinds of doctrines and everything. The only true doctrine is the apostle doctrine, what Jesus taught them, and that's what we're going to have to go by because it is the word of God. Now, people have come along, and I've got better revelation than them anybody. Well, he's a liar, and the truth ain't in him because there's no revelation been given since John, the revelator, was given the book of Revelation to write to the churches and tell them the things that would come. Now, you can accept it or not accept it. God is not going to make you accept it, and I can't make you. But the thing of it is, if you don't accept what God has to say, when all these things come upon you, and he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, you're going to wish you had accepted it. That's the bottom line. My friend, you can't make it without Christ being in you, the hope of glory. You cannot make it in the present state of sin. You cannot just use the grace of God to abound over your sins, for God forbid, that Paul writes to it. We got to understand that these things that are happening across the land is time that to wake us up. When you see these things happening, it's time for you to wake up and to realize that we're living in the last days. We're seeing all these things being fulfilled. Just a few days ago, we had this storm come around. Then on the backside of that, the earthquakes in Mexico and different places, and they're looking for a volcano to blow its top anytime over there in some of the other countries. And even in the Yellowstone National Park, they say that could go off anytime. My friend, it's places that we're in that these things is going to happen before the coming of our Lord. But we understand that my wife made mention about the sharing arrangement that's going to be made there in Jerusalem there about, and the Jews will build their third temple. Now, the Muslims won't be worshiping in the temple there, in the Jewish temple. Neither will the Jews worship in the Muslims' temple, the Rome of the Dome of the Rock, they call it, or whatever. But they will have a place there. Because the Bible speaks about that John said was give a reed, a measuring rod, in other words, to measure the temple and the altar and them therein, but leave the courts without, because it was given unto the Gentiles that they would trample it underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. My friend, they're going to be there, and this temple is going to be rebuilt. Whether you believe it or not, it ain't going to change the things. It's going to be, they're going to have their third temple, and they're going to worship. They're going to go into animal sacrifice. And as my wife was saying, no doubt that the old man of sin will be revealed at the time, about the middle of that 7-year peace treaty that they called it. My friend, and it comes to the time that when they he stands up and declare him to be the Messiah, God himself, as it was spoke about in Daniel there, when he spoke about it in the abomination of desolate to stand in a place where it ought not. But he goes to place in Daniel 12 there. He said, and from the time of the daily sacrifice, there shall be taken away there. And the abomination of which make a desolate sit therefore, it to be a 1,290 days. Blessed, friends, it's all coming to pass. You cannot deny the fact that these things are happening. They're in the negotiation now, that trying to bring forth this peace treaty with Israel and the Palestinians. And I believe that the time, I don't know the day or the hour, and I don't guess nobody could rightly say he did, but nevertheless, I believe it's close. I believe it'll be within in a few months or a year or so anyway. I believe it's going to happen pretty soon. And when that time comes and they have that peace treaty and they say that we have peace and safety, the Bible speaks about there'll be sudden destruction. My friend, there'll be a nullness there of all things, and it'll be seemingly to be fulfilling peace and safety for at least 3.5 years. They'll build the temple again. They'll worship in the temple, have the animal sacrifices. And when it comes about that, when the old man of sin, that old Antichrist, stand up there, and all these here people, these here, I got my dog and I love him, but I don't love him above anything. It's human and everything. But I thank a lot of him, and I appreciate him, but I thank God for him. But nevertheless, when these animal lovers come along and putting animals before they do the benefit of human beings, now that's getting to be a little bit ridiculous, but that's the way they are. When all of them complain and shatter so much about the animal sacrifice and everything, the old Antichrist will stand up and stop it. And he'll say, you don't need to do this no more. I'm already here. Here I am. I'm the Messiah. I'm God. He said it's abomination of desolate. And that's abomination to God for some man to stand up and say he's the Messiah or he's God. It's a stink in the nostrils of God, and God's going to put an end to it. But there's going to be trouble, my friend, when that old man stands up. Israel's veil is going to be lifted from their eyes, and they're going to realize that what the prophet Isaiah and other prophets had to say about the coming of the Messiah, that he would be born unto them from as a babe. And he would come and be born of the Virgin Mary. And Mary can't help you, my friend. You need to get that out of your mind. You don't pray to Mary. You pray to Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man, Jesus the Christ. And he is God in the flesh, and he will make your petition between him and the Father. My God, you got to realize, my friend, Mary was just the instrument that he used, because she was out of the lineage of David, and which was to be out of the king's lineage of the bloodlines of which he come from. He was a son of David only by the flesh, not after the spirit. He was a son of God by the spirit of God. He was there. God brought forth and spoke his word into her womb, and she brought forth, and he said he would, his name would be called Jesus, and he would save his friend from his sin. And this Catholicism Roman teaching is a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. They're saying you pray to Mary and she'll pray to Jesus, and Jesus pray to the Father. It's hogwash, my friend. It's no biblical thing. Having your Santa Claus and coming around with riding through the sky with a sleigh and all that kind of stuff and celebrating the Lord's birthday on the 25th day of December, it's all a bunch of junk. And going out egg hunting and one thing or another on the resurrection of our Lord, when it's just junk. It's all fantasized. But my friend, the thing of it is, if you read your Bible and find out what's going to transpire, it'll get you out of all of that junk. It'll bring you to the truth and the knowledge of the truth of God's word if you'll believe what it says and come to that knowledge. Jesus said these things are going to be, must be. Didn't say that they just perhaps will be, but he said these things must be before his return. In other words, we got to understand that he himself had the men of old, the prophets and the apostles, to write this book as for you and I, your and I, my benefits. Not for his, but for our benefits. And it'll benefit us if we believe what it was said. The apostles, they followed it, and they're going to be there. They're going to be in the kingdom. It's just futile to believe otherwise. And there's so many winds of doctrine and so many false teaching going on out in the world today. So many people are following after this, and so many are saying, God's going to bless you with all kinds of riches and things of that nature, and robbing people blindly because that they believe all this stuff. But do you get all that stuff? Has the windows of heaven been opened out and you've been blessed beyond all that? I'm afraid not, my friend. But they collecting your money, and they're multimillionaires, and they've got it all in, but it ain't going to do them no good. They're going to run. The rich man's going to run and howl and throw his money into the holes with the bats and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Biblically, my friend, it's come to the time. We're going to go through some tribulations. Whether you believe it or not, it ain't going to change a thing. But believe me, in Matthew 20:29, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they appear the signs of the coming of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and with the sound of the great gathering, and his elect four winds of the earth and into the heavens and the others. My friend, he says, and when he goes to say to let you know, a fig tree, it will not put forth its leaves until the summer is nigh. My friend, the fig tree, if you'll notice it, we're living at the time that all these things will be fulfilled. We're looking at the time that Jesus is soon coming. I ain't going to say he's going to come tomorrow. I ain't going to say he's going to come in the year 2018, because no man knows the day or the hour, not even to the angels. Now, this smart aleck that thinks he knows it all and claims that this sign in the heavens that the Revelation speaks about, there was a sign in the heavens and a wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and stars, 12 stars around her head and everything, claims that this is something other kind of a myth like, but that's going to be the end of the time. But that's wrong, because that represents the kingdom of God being born to Israel. That represented the woman there that described was Israel, and the 12 stars was the 12 patriarchs. My friend, it's come to the time you need to read what the Bible says. Don't believe everything that comes across the road. Every wind of doctrine, as many people are going to believe a lie and be damned. Jesus said that they would come to the place of wherein that they would believe a lie. He would turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. My friend, it's come to the time that some people don't believe what the Word of God said. They said, oh, well, the time of the end is 1,000 years away yet. It's this and it's that. I don't believe in all that. Why would God take and put all this stuff upon people that if he's such a loving God, he lets it rain on the just and the unjust. He was the just and we were unjust, and the just would give for the unjust, and he suffered much to bring forth this salvation to you and I. He didn't have to, but because he loved us so much, he was willing to. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane there, he was praying there and he said, Father, if it be thy will that this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. Honey, you and I contributed much to that cup of bitterness that he drunk, and we contributed much to the sins that he took upon him and bore them and nailed them to a cross. And then when that hours there that when he looked up and he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? The darkness came over the face of the earth. God turned his face away from that. But when he looked back again for a period of about 3 hours, he seen nothing but the blood of Jesus, my friends. He didn't see our sins. He seen the blood. So the blood of Jesus is going to have to be applied, and you can't get it by going to Mary. You got to go directly to the throne of grace and the calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus and asking him to forgive you of your sins. The Pope can't do it. I can't do it. No other man can do it. The man called Jesus, God himself, is the only one that can forgive sins. There's nobody else that can do it. We got to accept the word of God, my friend, or we'll go down in defeat. If I don't accept it, I'm gone. I'm lost. If you don't accept it, you're going to be with me. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want to be lost. I want us to be a part of that first resurrection that's going to take place, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them to be remain to be alive. If that be the case, we'll be changed from mortal to immortality. We can meet them out of the grave in the clouds of glory and go on and be with the Lord while all this here great tribulations is going to take place. God's going to pour his wrath out upon them that refuse to have him, refuse to believe upon him, and they take the mark of the beast, and many, because of their desires for wealth and riches and don't seem that they can do without money and stealing and one thing or another, they got to have it. And when it comes to the time that they're going to have that mark of the man's name, they said 666. How it's going to come about, it's many, many things that have been brought up about how they'll do that. So I don't really know. But nevertheless, it'd be something other that would be visible. And it would be, if you don't have it, you can't buy nor sell. If you can't buy nor sell, you won't have no job, you don't have no money, you're going to have to rely upon the Lord for the food, like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Wasn't no 7-Eleven on the corner, wasn't no streetcar running down the road, but they walked through the wilderness, and there God fed them 3 times a day. He fed them there with manna every day except the Sabbath, and they had to collect up enough on Friday, you might say, to hold them over to the Sabbath. My friend, it's come to the time, if we don't get our P's and Q's right and get our wagon behind the horse and let God lead and direct us, and when all these things come to pass, we're going to be shut out in the cold. Because if you take that mark, God ain't going to have no more to do with you. It's impossible. He just ain't going to have the mark of the beast, which is the enemy of God and man too. And he's going to not have that in his new kingdom. He just absolutely ain't going to put up with it. You'll be doomed. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. And them that have not their names written in the Lamb's book of life, death, hell, and the grave's going to give up the dead. That's going to be the second resurrection. And when they come to stand before him and the book will be open, I believe the word of God is going to be open and another book is open. and it's going to be the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not recorded in there that you have been born again, he's going to say, depart from me, and cast them again into hell, which will be the second death. My friend, it's come time that where Brother McGee used to say, the rubber hits the road. You got to believe the word of God. You need to repent. Come to the Lord with your whole heart and believing and accepting him for your salvation, because without him, you ain't going to make it. I can't make it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. And without Jesus, we ain't going to make it. Just plain and simple. You can't make it without him. I need him every moment. Every fiber of my body needs him to help me from day to day, not two or three days in advance. I don't make my vacation plan a year in advance. If God permits, I'll take one. If he don't, well, I won't. But nevertheless, I'm making plans for that final destination, the kingdom of God, but calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with his spirit, baptized in his name, accepting what he done at Calvary that for me that I couldn't do for myself. He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. And it's going to be left up to you and I, that if he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So these people that says that there is no God, only a fool would say there's no God, but I ain't going to argue with him, because if you get to arguing with a fool, you become a bigger fool than he is. Right. So don't argue with him. Just believe what the word of God says, and let him go on to his own destiny, whatever that might be. And people are coming down the road and saying this one's in heaven and this one's in hell. Honey, I'm not the judge of this. God's going to make the final judgment on these things. When one passes away and I officiate his funeral, I say, put him in the hands of a living God, because we all going to stand before God one day, and we're going to be judged. But our judgment can go on before us. If we repent of our sins, then we'll be judged. But we can't do what God has done for us. We couldn't die for ourselves. He is the only one that could purchase our salvation with his own blood. Took upon him yours and my sins and iniquity, and nailing them to the cross. It's just absolutely no other way you can get there, my friend. If there had been another way that could have been that brings forth salvation, I'm sure that he would have brought it forth. But there was no other way. This was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God from the beginning. At the fall of Adam there, that he came in there and he brought forth the law. It was an animal sacrifice. Didn't do away with the sins, but it pushed him back. But he had it all planned out, that the shedding of blood, the garments that God took from the animals had to be blood shed, a male and a female. And he put the female on Eve and the male on Adam, and it's the way it should be from that day on. But there's been discrepancy about that, and been so much going on until people have come and fallen in that old sodomite spirit and have been believe a lie and be damned. That's about the only end that you're going to come with. God's not going to have that kind of stuff in his kingdom. No matter what they said, they've been born again and still falling into that. No, it's not possible, my friend. You cannot abide under the grace of God and continue in your sins. It's forbid. God forbid it. And it's not going to happen. We need to understand that God is going to have the final say. And he's going to make the judgment, not man, but even though he said we would judge angels. But we're going to pass judgment upon the fallen angels. Them that have been faithful to God and his cherubims, we're not going to judge them. But them that has come down and followed Lucifer, they'll be judged. And God threw them out of heaven. They're not going to enter back in, my friend. They're going to be cast into hell and fastened up for the duration, eternally. It's coming to time. You can believe it or not believe it. All I can do is be a watchman on the wall and tell you what the scripture says, and teach you and tell you to read your Bible. Get your Bible and read it and find out what it has to say. Don't take my word for it, my friend. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong intentionally for nothing in the world, because I'm going to be held accountable for that, just like we all are going to be held accountable. I want to see you, therefore, in the kingdom of God, when we can stand there and worship God and praise forevermore and eternally there, not being cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. We want to be there to be rejoiced in the presence of God, be in that new Jerusalem that John seen coming down, a city four square, 1,500 square miles there, any direction you want to go. But outside, we're going to be able to, the gates is not going to be shut, but we can go in and out. But my friend, getting in and out of that city would be quite a chore, but nevertheless, some people got to any just say, and you're gone. I don't know about that, but nevertheless. But anyhow, Jesus, when he arose from the dead, he disappeared out of the sight of those that were on the road of Damascus. When they recognized him to be in who he was, when he broke the bread there, and he asked them what kind of communication they had. And he wanted them to talk to him about it. Well, he said, did not our hearts burn, yearn within us when we talked on the road? Then when he come there and broke the bread, and the eyes was open, and the understanding came to him, and he disappeared out of the sight. Let the word of God, my friend, open your eyes. Open your understanding by the Spirit of God. Believe what the word says and be prepared for such a day that we know not, that when the Son of Man appears, that we shall be like him, for we shall be like him as we shall see him as he is. So be prepared for that day. You don't wait until you have a flat tire when it's going down to put air in it. When it's going down, you need to do something about it then. Don't wait until you tear the tire up. If it's possible, you have a warning of it. My friend, it's come to the time that the Bible is full of warnings against that day of the Lord and what we need to do to be prepared. Don't be asleep, but this country, the nations are asleep. They need to wake up to reality and know that these things are being fulfilled as a part of the end time to go. We need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it all takes place and he comes and receives his church, like I said, that possibly maybe the only way that you could make it, you'd have to die holding on and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they give you a sign there, you deny the Lord, I'm going to cut your head off, possibly. And you're going to say, well, cut my head off like the three Hebrew children did when the king said, who is this God that can deliver you out of my hands? He said, be it made unto you, known unto you, O king, if it he don't deliver us, we're not going to bow to your image. So he threw him in the burning flame. But there, when he looked in, did not we throw three in there? Yeah, O king, but we I see four walking around loose and walking around in the fire. And he called them out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. They didn't even have the singe of hair, the smell of smoke on them. That fourth man is still in the fire, my friend. He's still waiting upon you and I to fulfill the mission that he has gave us, to come forth, repent from our sins, and be born into the kingdom of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He's waiting upon you to receive him. He's willing to give you eternal life through the new birth if you'll only receive him. It's up to you. It's your decision. He made you a free moral agent. You can decide to serve him or not serve him. But my friend, the consequences of not receiving him and believe upon him is going to be devastating. Cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. Ain't no way out. And then people comes up and they pay so much money to the priest to pray them out of purgatory. You not better not believe that lie. Once you're there, you're there. And it's going to be eternally. So may God bless you and keep you, right to us if you will. And believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get you a Bible and believe it. Don't believe everything that comes down the road and them that tell you, they'll interpret it for you and tell you what it says. Get away from it. Read your Bible and believe what it says. May God richly bless you and keep you. Until next time, appreciate all of those that wrote to us. And may God keep you and bless you, my friend, and help you to understand and give him praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do, but don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.